That gets everybody's attention, huh? Oh, it's so good to be here this morning. I hope you're excited about this morning. I am, because I get an opportunity to hear from a close friend and someone that I know ever since ever since he was about this tall, and just to see how God has worked in his life. Nathan has just been a blessing to me. He's been a part of the Herald Brass as well. And not just him, but his whole family we know. If some of our youth know Rachel, because we went together to Uruguay, had a great time on that trip as well. But let's pray, and then Nathan, come on, and I'll let you share where you're from. But I know they know that already because we've been praying for you, but let's pray. Thank you, Father, just for this opportunity to be in your house this morning, to hear what you're doing around the world, especially where Nathan is serving you. And I just pray you would bless Nathan this morning and anoint him to use him for you this morning, Father, so we can just hear your heart. So thank you for all you're doing through Nathan, and thank you for this opportunity to be here to be a part of this. So we love you, Lord, and just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm excited to be here. I've been back in the States for about a week. I returned to the U.S. last Sunday from Taiwan. I've been in Taiwan for about 3.5 years now, serving with Envision, which is part of the Christian Missionary Alliance. I'm originally from York County, a little town called Spring Grove. Most people know it by its smell. It's a paper town, so it smells like home. I came home, we drive up into town, I put the window down. Good to be home. But yeah, so I'm excited to be back here in the States. And so for Sunday School this morning, I just wanted to play a game. Wanted to play some Jeopardy. Teach you a little bit about Taiwan. We're going to learn some geography, some fast facts. You can learn a little Chinese today. Learn about some religion and some history of Taiwan. So I'll just be telling some stories along the way. You guys are nicely split up into two teams, so let the competition begin, okay? So it's just going to be fun. Just going to like call out answers. Just be asking who wants what question, all that kind of stuff. So it's just going to be fun. And if you have questions along the way, feel free to ask. This is just going to be, it's going to be a lot of fun. So, who wants to go first? Okay, here we go. Which subject would you like, and how many points for this team?
We better go with fast facts for us. No, we're going big.
Go big.
400
fast facts. Okay, here we go. What lunar year is it right now? This is an animal. Nope. No multiple choice.
I'm going to go with the howler monkey.
The howler monkey? Is it the howler monkey? If you hit the space bar, the answer should show up. Yeah, not the howler monkey. It's the year of the pig. The Taiwanese and the Chinese people follow a lunar calendar as well as the solar calendar. So it is 2019 in Taiwan. But they also follow the lunar year, which is like 12 animals. So this year is the pig. So, yep, the lunar year is the year of the pig, which happens to be my year. So, yes, this is team two.
Can we go negative points?
Well, he just gave you negatives. Great. Okay. Okay. Team one.
Religion
for? 300. Okay. What percentage of Taiwan is Christian? 3%? Okay. Guessing 3%. Very close. Very close. It's 4% Christian in Taiwan. Where I am in the capital city of Taipei, it's higher. There's a lot more like foreigners in the city, a lot more churches. So it's about 7 or 8% in Taipei. But overall in the country, it's about 4% Christian. Okay. Back over here. Geography for 200. What? Oh, I just gave the answer. What's the capital of Taiwan? Taipei. Yes, the capital of Taiwan is Taipei. Good. Okay. So you got that one right. So let's go again. Geography for 300. What is the body of water located to the west of Taiwan? The body of water located to the west of Taiwan. The Indian Ocean? Is it the Indian Ocean? No, it's the Strait of Taiwan. So the Strait of Taiwan is a relatively narrow body of water that separates Taiwan from mainland China. So that's the body of water right there, the Strait of Taiwan. Okay, back over here. Yeah?
Geography for 400.
The island of Taiwan is often said to look like what food? If you look at the shape of Taiwan, is it a banana? A sweet potato. The Taiwanese love sweet potatoes. You can just walk into 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven's a big convenience store in Taiwan, very different from ours. Same company, but totally different. And you can just buy roasted sweet potatoes. No brown sugar, though. Where's the brown sugar and the marshmallows? Then I'll eat it. Okay, back to you guys. Fast Facts 100. Taiwan is not recognized as this. A country? Yes, yes, that counts. A sovereign nation. Good job. Yes, Taiwan is actually not recognized as a sovereign nation. It's a very long story, but technically the Chinese Civil War never finished. That was after World War II. So the communists came to power and were in mainland China. And then basically, long story short, civil war is still happening in Taiwan or like the rebels or whatever, and the war never ended. And so they are not recognized by the international community as being a sovereign nation. They used to be the China, but then I think around Nixon it switched to Beijing as the capital. So yes, there is no American embassy. There is like a nonprofit that does pretty much the same thing, but it's not a recognized country in the international community. I think it has about 12 diplomatic allies around the world. Most of them are like really small countries, like St. Kitts and the Nevis and like the Solomon Islands, like really small countries. The most notable ally of Taiwan would be the Vatican, but it's still very, very small. So yeah, Taiwan is not recognized as a sovereign nation, so. Okay, that was, you guys got it right, so let's go again.
Language 200.
Language 200, let's go Chinese. Does Taiwan, use simplified or traditional Chinese characters? Simplified? Is it simplified? No, it's traditional. So Chinese is spoken in Taiwan. But there are two writing systems. Mainland Chinese uses simplified, so basically they take the character and simplify it. When in Taiwan we still use the traditional characters, they're a little more complex, but those same characters that Cantonese uses in Hong Kong. So traditional characters. Okay. What do you guys think?
History
for 300. What is Taiwan's official name? The country of Taiwan. What is its official name? Republic of Taiwan? Republic of Taiwan. Okay. Republic of China. Okay, this is not confusing at all. Taiwan is the Republic of China. What we call China is the People's Republic of China. Not confusing at all, right? Republic of China, People's Republic of China, okay? So the Republic of China says that the People's Republic of China does not own the Republic of China, but the People's Republic of China says that they own the Republic of China, which makes the Republic of China pretty upset. Yeah, not confusing at all. So Taiwan's official name is the Republic of China, but this is a little bit controversial for the younger Taiwanese because they want to be known as Taiwanese. They don't feel like they are Chinese. Anymore. They are ethnically Chinese, but not culturally Chinese, I guess you could say. So they want to be the Republic of Taiwan, but that would start a war. So we're not going to go there right now. Yeah. Yeah, good question. So if you haven't been following the news, in East Asia, Hong Kong is having some massive protests. It's been about 12 or 13 weeks consecutive of protests. Hong Kong used to be a British colony. They were given back to China. They were promised about 100 years, 50 to 100 years of relative freedom before they went back into full Chinese control. And those freedoms have been very quickly been disappearing. So there was a bill introduced by the Hong Kong legislature that would allow them to extradite Hong Kong citizens to China. Caused a big problem. There's been like 13 weeks of protests. So Taiwan, Macau, mainland China, and all of East Asia are watching these protests really carefully because Hong Kong is viewed as the first domino. So if Hong Kong gets freedom, Taiwan gets freedom. Macau gets freedom. Mainland China gets freedom. If Hong Kong falls, Hong Kong loses its freedom, Taiwan loses its freedom, Macau loses its freedom, East Asia loses its freedom. So a lot of people are watching carefully. Joshua Wang, I think is his last name. He is a big founder of the Umbrella Movement in Taiwan, or sorry, Hong Kong. He was just in Taiwan this past week meeting with leaders in Taiwan trying to firm up support for Hong Kong. So yeah. It's kind of tense right now, and they shut down all the airports and stuff like that, so that was causing issues all over. So, yeah. Okay. Over here. Next question. Language 300. Language for 300. How do you say hello in Chinese?
Ni hao.
Great. Yeah. Ni hao. Ni hao. Okay. Great. So, just as a little bit of context, the first word ni is like you. How is good. So like, are you good? Ni hao. And that's third tone. Okay, so there are five tones in Chinese. First tone, second, third, fourth, fifth. But those are three. So it goes down and up. Ni hao. Let's all try together. Ni hao. Yep, good. Now you can speak Chinese. Great job. You thought you were just coming to Sunday school and you got a Chinese lesson for free. Okay, next. Language for 400, okay. Feeling confident. How do you say thank you in Chinese?
Oh, we didn't learn that.
Yeah?
Is
it
shishi? Shishi
mean,
or shishi?
Close. I'm hearing it. Say it faster. Yeah, good. Xiexie. Xiexie. Okay. Xiexie. Yeah, xixi actually means pee. So, but very close. We had an intern who came to Taiwan, and he's like, I studied Chinese. Xixi. And I'm just like, you're welcome. Yes, xiexie. And this is fourth tone. So fourth tone is kind of like a sharp downward movement. Xiexie. Let's all say it together. Xiexie. Good. Great. Okay. Yeah.
Language 500.
Here we go. Language for 500. How do you count to five in Chinese? Not one, two, three, four, five. Not even gonna try. Okay. Do you guys want to steal? You guys can't. Sorry. You lived there for a year. Anyone know how to count to Chinese? A count to five in Chinese? No. No? Okay. It's 一二三四五. 一二三四五. Good. Yeah, you can show the answer. This is how it's written. So they do use like numbers, like the number one. But this is like how we spell one, O-N-E. This is how they write one. 一二三四五. Interesting thing is they count on their fingers differently. So we would go like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 6. You know, like we just kind of show how many fingers. They do it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then like 10. So I was real confused. I was confused here in America because I'm like, 6. And they're like, Like hang 10? Like what? Just like 6. Yeah, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So that's, like, if you're real confused about your numbers, just, you want 6 of them. 6 dumplings. Okay. You guys. Fast facts for 500. How many NTD, that's the new Taiwanese dollar, are equal to one U.S. dollar?
30?
Okay, let's look. Yeah, 30. Wow. Very good. Yeah, it's about 30 NT. That's what we just short to, NT. It's equal to one U.S. dollar. So... are we accusing somebody of cheating? Yeah. Yeah, 30 NT is equal to one United States dollar. For me, like an average meal is about 100 NT, which is about 3 US dollars. It's actually cheaper to eat out in Taiwan than it is to cook your food. That's mostly because I don't know how to cook Taiwanese food. When I cook, I'm cooking more like Western style food. I tried to make lasagna one time. It was going to cost me like $40 just for myself, just to buy all the cheese, because Taiwanese don't really eat cheese. So just the cheese itself was going to be like $20. So, but it's still pretty cheap to eat out. Most Taiwanese will eat out for most meals. You can go to like a breakfast shop early in the morning and grab like a little breakfast sandwich for like 30 NT. It's so like a buck. So the food's really good and pretty cheap. So you should come to Taiwan. Cool. So you got that right. Let's go again. Geography for 500. What is the tallest mountain in Taiwan? I'll give you guys a hint, and then whoever raises their hand first can go for it, okay? You know? Oh, okay. He's just ready. Okay. Think of a very traditional Chinese necklace. Yeah, Jade Mountain. Very good. Yushan. Good job. Yeah, Jade Mountain is the tallest mountain in Taiwan. That's how you say it. Also name of my bank, Yushan. Okay, so let's go again. Religion for 500. What is ghost money used for? To ward off evil spirits, to pay for a funeral. Do we want to steal? Very good. Yeah, you can show the answer. Ghost money is used to provide for departed loved ones in the afterlife. So they buy this paper money. It doesn't have any value like by itself, but they just take this money that they buy from the temple and they just burn it in like these things that basically look like trash cans, just like these red-looking things. The first time I saw it, I was real confused. I'm like, why are people just burning their trash in the street? Like, it's a giant city. Like, but then I realized they were throwing this yellow ghost money into these red buckets, just burning the money and burning it into the afterworld so that their departed loved ones have financial resources to live in the afterlife. So, good job. Okay, next one. Religion for 100. What is the dominant religions in Taiwan? I hear Buddhism. Do we have a second guess? I'll give you Buddhism. We'll show it. The top two religions are Buddhism and Taoism. Taiwan's religion is pretty interesting because it's very much of like a melting between it. Like if you studied like pure Buddhism and Taoism and you went to Taiwan, you wouldn't be able to find it. It's very much of like this mix between the two. So the largest temple in Taipei is Longshan Temple, and it is a Buddhist temple And there's a like Buddha temple inside, but it's surrounded by Taoist gods. So it's very much like this mixing between it. And then there's also a lot of ancestor worship as well. So it's kind of a mix of all three. Most people in their homes will have what we call it like a god shelf. And it's just like this little shelf. It's like a box basically made of wood, and they have like idols and pictures of like their grandparents, and then they just like put like fruit or incense on the shelf every morning and just like do a little bye-bye. Not like bye-bye, but like bye-bye is like worship. So they'll bye-bye every morning at their little god shelf that has Taoist gods and ancestors and stuff like that. So if you've ever seen the movie Coco, the Pixar movie, that's in a very Mexican context, not Taiwanese at all, but it's a similar idea of you need to respect the ancestors in their afterlife. And if you don't care for them, if you don't pray to them, if you don't give them food, if you don't give them money, then they're going to have a bad life in the afterlife. But yes, the main religion is Buddhism and Taoism. Good. Okay, let's go again. Yes. Good question, yeah. So the older generation is very devout, very serious about going to temple, very superstitious. When the younger generation could be compared maybe to like an American context, it's more of like a cultural thing. Like, grandma expects me to go to temple, so I'm going to go to temple. My parents expect me to do the motions of religion, so I'm going to go do it. But they tell me that they don't really believe it's real. It's just a culture thing. Here in the States, Christianity and American culture is pretty close. There are some like overlapping like holidays. It's like, oh, this is a religious holiday and an American holiday. Think about Christmas, Easter. Those are church holidays, but they're celebrated by the larger American culture, even if you're not a believing Christian. The same is true in the Taiwanese context of like tomb sweeping day. You go to your ancestors' tombs, you physically sweep it off, clean it up, and then you pray to them. And so that's a holiday we get off work for people to go tomb sweep. But a lot of the younger generation goes because it's a form of respect versus they actually believe that their grandparents are listening. Yeah. So I think it's going to be interesting to see over the next decade to 25 years to see what all changes. Because not just in religion, but just in culture in general, they say that I have more in common with my Taiwanese millennials than I do with my parents' generation because of the internet. Just we have more in common, our lives are more similar with me and a Taiwanese than me and my father just because of the pace of the changing world. So they're becoming more and more globalized, more and more aware of the world, and a lot of young Taiwanese will go to church or study Christianity because they want to learn about the West. They view Christianity very much as a Western religion, so a way to be in the know about Western culture is to study Christianity. So, yeah, it's a really interesting context for Taiwanese religion. Okay, question. Which one do you guys like?
Geography 100.
Geography for 100. Where is Taiwan located? Broad region. Yep. And where is China? What continent? Yeah, good. Taiwan is located in East Asia, okay? So East Asia is kind of like this broad term that typically refers to China, at least, yeah, China. China is huge and very diverse in and of itself, but we say China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, the Koreas, and Japan would be kind of considered East Asia. If you're getting down to Indonesia, Philippines, that's Southeast Asia. So East Asia is where Taiwan is. Good. Next one.
Wait, we have a question back here.
Yes, question.
Taiwan, is it like always warm there? Because it looks like it's pretty close to the equator.
Yeah. It is very hot and very humid. It's always humid. All year it's very humid. In the winter it can get cooler. So the coolest it might get is between like 40 and 50 Fahrenheit. But it feels really cold because there's no heat in the homes, and it's all tile. So because it doesn't get really cold, they just don't invest in putting a heating system, and it's just tile, because in the summer you need that cooling flooring system. So in the winter it can feel really cold, even though it's relatively to the States not that cold. And it's also really humid, so it's like a wet cold. But in the summer it's normally at 100 or above with 90% humidity. So like the real feel or whatever is 120, 113 to 120 for most of May until I'd say October. I've had a couple Christmases that I was wearing shorts. So yeah, it stays pretty hot. And I'm in the northern tip of the island. Down south it's even hotter. A little less humid, but even hotter. So yep, pretty hot. Okay, next question. What was that? Religion for 200. Taiwan has the most what per capita in the world? Taiwan has the most what per capita, like per person in the world? Sweet potatoes? I'm sorry? Bugs? No, not bugs. Gods? Getting closer. Very good. Taiwan has the most temples per capita in the world. It's a very small country. It's about the size of Maryland. Has around 24 million people, so it's a very densely packed country. Taipei is the largest city. The Taipei metropolitan area is about 8 million people, so that's like a fourth of the country's population. So it's not a very big country, but it has the most temples per capita in the entire world. So there are a lot of like organized temples, but also people just set up like little, like think of like just small little storefronts. They just like kind of rent that out and just make a temple in it. So it has the most registered temples in the world per capita. Good. Okay. What's the next question? Language for 100. I think I might have given you the answer for this one. Okay, can you think of the specific name since I already kind of gave you the answer? Yes, Mandarin. Mandarin Chinese, okay? So Chinese is kind of like this umbrella term. Chinese is a really, really broad language family, and Cantonese is a form of Chinese. Mandarin Chinese is the language that basically the communists decided on as being the language that would unite all of China across the dynasties, all that kind of stuff. So Mandarin Chinese is the main language spoken in Taiwan, in mainland China, and then whenever China took over Hong Kong, they forced them to learn Mandarin in Hong Kong, even though their main language is Cantonese. So Mandarin Chinese is the main language in Taiwan. But like I said, they use different characters. So I think I'd only been in Taiwan for about 6 months. So 3 years ago, I was in Taiwan, and I was at an event, and I was taking a taxi back, and I ended up sharing a taxi with someone from mainland China. My Chinese was not great, and his English was really good, but we could understand each other's Chinese, but he could not read the road signs. He asked me, an American who'd been in Taiwan for 6 months, to help him read the road signs, because they're that different. Taiwanese can read simplified characters. They don't like to. It's more difficult, but they can read it. But mainland Chinese cannot read the traditional characters. They're a lot more difficult. There might be a character that in Taiwan might be like 20 strokes, like 20 movements with your pen, and in China might be like 4 or 5. So just really severely simplified, but a lot of the meaning gets taken out. So if you understand like the root forms of the Chinese words, you can see, oh, the word for coal has a fire symbol in the middle of it. So you can kind of figure out the meaning even if you don't know how to say it, because there are no phonetic clues in the Chinese character, but you can figure out its general meaning by the character in Taiwan, not in China necessarily. Good. Okay. Next question. History 100. Taiwan was at one point unified with what modern-day country? Very good. People's Republic of China. Yes, China. So like I said, Taiwan and China were one country. And then after World War II, the communists teamed up with, I'm just going to call them the Taiwanese. They're the Nationalist Party. They fought against the Qing Dynasty, overthrew them, and then started fighting with themselves to see who gets power. Back and forth, eventually the communists gained power, and the Taiwanese moved to the island of Formosa, Taiwan, and have been there in exile ever since. Technically, if you look at their like political philosophy, their goal is to retake the mainland, to liberate the mainland from the communist. That is the end goal. But because it's been years and years and years, and culture has split further and further, and the communists have gotten more powerful, there's kind of like the sentiment of like, we just want to be independent, we just want to be split. But that can really break down in the generations as well. A lot of the grandparents in Taiwan will say, I'm Chinese, and I want to go home. They feel like they're in exile on the island of Taiwan. When the younger generation, my age, is saying, I've never been to China. I don't really want to go to China because I've never been there. So I'm Taiwanese. So grandparents might say, I'm Chinese, I want to go home to mainland China. The younger generation says, I've never been there, I don't want to be Chinese. And things have even changed, like whenever, like my Chinese teacher, she's middle-aged, whenever she was young, her like Taiwanese ID like had her name, like all her like information, and then it said where she's from in China, where her family came from when they were exiled, basically. The modern day does not have that kind of information because they don't care necessarily anymore where great-grandma came from. So like if you think in our context, like where did our parents come from, you know, like where did we immigrate from? It would almost be like that would be on our ID cards or whatever, and then like our great-great-grandparents would say, I'm German and I want to go home to Germany, and I'm like, I've never been there. It's that short of a history for the Taiwanese. A lot has changed over the last three generations. So, okay, go again. History for 200. Taiwan was occupied by what modern-day country from 1895 to 1945? Great Britain. Great Britain?
Japan.
Japan? Which one do you want to go for? Japan? Good, yes. Taiwan was occupied by the Japanese in World War II and before World War II. Taiwan has a really difficult history. It's been occupied. Taiwan has never really had a time that it was unclaimed. So there are like indigenous people groups in Taiwan. But over the history, they've been colonized by the Portuguese, by the Spanish. The Qing Dynasty from China controlled the island. The Japanese, the Americans at the end of World War II occupied the island. There's still like forts on the island. So it's just like this really long history. There's this one fort up in the northern part of Taipei that you can go to like this fort, and there are like seven or eight flags of different countries that have occupied Taiwan over the last 400 or 500 years. So it's been a really long history of occupation, and so this really breaks down this identity issue of like, who are we? Like there are indigenous people groups, but we've been occupied by all of these different countries. There are like Dutch forts from their era, Spanish architecture. Some of like my friend's great-grandparents only spoke Japanese because they were alive during the occupation during World War II. So it's just this really interesting breakdown. So some great-grandparents and grandparents, if they're older, speak Japanese. The parents and grandparents will speak Taiwanese, which is a local dialect of Chinese. And the younger generation, my generation, will only speak Mandarin Chinese. So three generations can speak three different languages. And often one generation has to translate on either side. So it's a really, really interesting, complicated, difficult history for Taiwan. Good. Okay, here we go again. Fast facts for 200. What is considered to be an unlucky number in Chinese?
Seven.
Seven. Let's see the answer. It's four. Okay. So the Chinese word for four is si. Si, that's fourth tone. Si, kind of like a sharp down. The word to die is si. So it's considered unlucky because sometimes you're like, oh, I want sige, and it sounds like sige, like dead one. So like when we sometimes don't have like a 13th floor because we consider that unlucky, they sometimes don't have a fourth floor. If there's a price of something, it will never be in four. Whenever you give someone a gift, you won't give like $400. Like $400 is like 20 bucks, something like that. Like $12, thank you. the first time I came back to the States, not this time, thankfully, but the first time I came back to the States, I was so confused. I couldn't figure out the American coins because they're like they're different sizes, and like our quarter is like our largest coin, right? It's the size of like the Taiwanese smallest coin. So I'm just like trying to find my money. I'm like, here, just take the money. I look like such an idiot because I'm this white person trying to figure out how to use American money. I forget where I was going with that. But yes. What was the question? Your turn. Great. Religion for 400. What month is Ghost Month?
September.
October. Okay. This is a little bit of a trick question because they follow the lunar calendar. So give me a number, 1 to 12. Oh, it's already up. Eighth lunar month. So often that lines up pretty close with August. August into September. So I'm going to give you guys the points. Yes. So it's the eighth lunar month. So during this month, the superstition is, the myth is, the belief really is that the gates of hell are opened up and the ghosts are allowed to come back to earth and influence the world. And so there are lots and lots and lots of sacrifices trying to make these ghosts happy, trying to ward them off. There are huge god parades. They load these gods up in basically what I picture of like the Ark of the Covenant type thing. There's people like carrying them and they're like bouncing up and down, and there's huge parades, loud drums, like the big like tiger dragon things, trying to keep these ghosts happy. There's a lot of superstition. They won't buy houses, they won't buy a car, they won't get married, they won't do anything that's a major life change, because the belief is a ghost can attach itself to that agreement, because it's a fresh agreement. So if you're buying a house, they can come into that house because it's changing owners. There's a gap between the ownership, like a car, marriage, like all that stuff. There's a gap in the ownership, and so the ghost can latch onto that. There's also a superstition that the ghosts that from people who have drowned come up out of the water and like try and drown living people. So if you don't believe all this, August is a great time to go to the beach because there's nobody else there. So they'll go to the swimming pool, but not the ocean. There's a lot of fear. There was something on the news the other year that someone found a red envelope, and that's like a traditional way to give money, like a gift. It's like just a red envelope. You can see some on my table. I'm there. But some guy just found a red envelope on his like car and didn't know what to do about it, and he wouldn't touch it. He actually called the cops to take this little paper envelope off of his car, because the superstition is that there was a ghost bride who was trying basically to get him to take her dowry of sorts, and if he took that envelope, if he touched it, his soul would be married to this ghost bride. Like just a lot of fear, and it sounds so like crazy to us, like it just doesn't make sense, but it's such a part of their culture and their life. That there's that much fear, even from a little red envelope. So Ghost Month is a really challenging time.
Do they have like a general notion of like a
it's I have tried to ask these questions about like the end life stuff, and this is where the mix between Buddhism, Taoism, and ancestor worship gets really complicated, because they don't really have a end times theology, I guess, because it depends on which god you believe in. But there is this idea that if you provide for your grandparents and if they're good people, then they go to a good place. Some people believe that's a place, heaven or hell. Some people believe that's a reincarnation. So they come back as a better person or a worse off person or an animal, something like that. It's a really difficult thing. And I've asked some of my like non-Christian friends who believe this, and it's unknown. And that's something that I think is pretty different just culturally, is the Taiwanese and most people in Asia are more okay with not having a firm set of like theology. When we have like our doctrine, it's all written down, and we, you know, have verses to support everything. There's like, we die and things happen, and they're okay with that uncertainty. So, good. Okay, whose turn is it? Your? Okay. What would you like? I'm sorry? History for 500. What is the predominant people group in Taiwan? That's a very, very broad term. Looking for a specific people group. Can you think of some of the dynasties? Probably not. I remember growing up like in like 7th, 8th grade, had like world history, and like give you like two chapters for like Chinese history. It's like a 6,000 year history. Like, it's such a long history. But it is the Han Chinese people group. So this people group came from mainland China. So the predominant people group in Taiwan are not from Taiwan. So like as I was saying, like they left mainland China after the war. So most people who live in Taiwan, I think it's like 90% of the Taiwanese people who hold a Taiwanese passport, are Chinese. So that has created some issues because they're relatively new. They've only been in the island for about 100, 150 years. And so they're the predominant people group. Whenever they came over at the end of the war, built infrastructure, built a country on the backs of a lot of the indigenous people groups. Let's give them the points. Let's make this interesting. The Chinese, that was right. Okay. Give them the points. So that just made it... Yeah, pop it up one. There we go. Okay. Anyone can win. But I'll let them go again. They got 600 points? I thought they were at minus 100. Four. We'll keep it here just to keep things interesting. Hey, you guys can still win. Yeah, it's your turn. History for 400. What year is it in Taiwan? This is not talking about the lunar calendar or the Gregorian calendar. Do you know? It's not that. And it's not the Chinese zodiac year. It's really confusing. There are three different years. You can talk about the Chinese zodiac, you can talk about the Gregorian Western calendar, or you can talk about the Taiwanese calendar. It's related to history. So that might give you a little bit of a hint. Any guess? 2019, the year of the pig. Okay, do you guys want to guess? 2021? 74? I'm sorry? No, it's a historical year. Doesn't have to do with the sun and the moon. Okay, no one's going to lose points for this one. It is the year, you can show it, 108. This is the year whenever the People's Republic of China officially started. So the year 108. So the way that I remember it is it's always, well, depends if it's the, but this does switch at the lunar year. So it'll be 2020 on like at the end of this year, it'll switch to 2020, and then it'll switch to 109 on like mid-February. But I just remember it's 1 year less. So I was real confused when I first got like my Taiwanese identification, my like health card, all that kind of stuff. It said I was born in 84. I was like, I was not born in 84? Like, I'm so confused. Like, they got all my paperwork wrong. It turns out it was the Taiwanese year, not the Western year. So I have to make sure I write the right one, otherwise I gain 10 years. Okay. Last one. Oh, 7-Eleven. I don't know whose turn it is.
It's our turn.
Yes, the most popular convenience store in Taiwan is 7-Eleven. 7-Elevens put the word convenience in convenience store. They don't sell gas. 7-Eleven has nothing to do with a gas station in Taiwan. I eat dinner there sometimes, just go in, grab something, kind of like fast food. You can buy toiletries, toilet paper, groceries, snacks, drinks. I pay my utility bills there. I can use the ATM there. What else can you do there? They have seating. They have a cafe. 7-Eleven is so convenient. You can print things off there. 7-Eleven is really, really, really convenient. So, yes, it is the largest convenience store chain in Taiwan. So these look like our final scores. Nice job, guys. I hope you learned some stuff. I hope you had some fun learning about Taiwan. This ends at 10:15, right? 10:30. Okay, so we have about 10 minutes left. Does anyone have any questions about things I've said during this game or just in general? Yeah. Yeah. Taiwanese culture is very, very focused on honor and respect. So even if there are disagreements, the patriarch or the matriarch's kind of decision goes. So even if the younger generations don't believe anything their grandparents are doing, if grandma says go, you go. So this is a really interesting dynamic when we're talking with young Taiwanese about matters of faith. Because they might be interested in becoming Christian, might be interested in getting baptized, but if grandma says no, it's really hard to make that decision, because often if you go against grandma's decision, mom and dad's decision, you can get kicked out of the house. So it's not like in like maybe a Muslim context that there's like a fear of safety if you make a decision to follow Christ, but you may get kicked out of your home. Some of my friends, like so my Chinese teacher, her parents are not Christian. She told her dad, like, I'm becoming a Christian, I'm going to church. And he's like, if you want to go to church, you can stay at church too, like live at church. So she wasn't allowed to go home for a couple weeks. And that's true for a lot of people in East Asia, not just Taiwan, but China, Korea, Japan. That's true as well. I'm sorry?
It's like they almost
yeah. Yep, because they're losing face. And also it's this idea, because they believe in ancestor worship, if the younger generations do not worship them in the afterlife, then their life gets bad. Or they might go to like a worse place, hell. So it's this idea of you're damning me by changing religions. So it's it can be a really traumatic decision. Yeah. Yeah, Formosa is actually a Portuguese word, which refers to the island. It's called the island of Formosa, and that it translates as beautiful island. So whenever the Portuguese were...
Do they still use that term?
Formosa is often used, yes, to refer to the island. Talking about the island itself, Taiwan often refers to the country, and it's Republic of China, but Formosa is talking about the island of Formosa. Beautiful island is what the Portuguese named it whenever they... ran into it. Yeah.
How are you involved in ministry there?
Yeah, good question. I'll be sharing a little bit more in the worship service, but I work with Envision, which is a part of the CNMA missions department, I guess. And Envision works specifically with short-term missions. So I, as a staff member in Envision, help facilitate short-term teams and internships. So Envision works with people, anyone who's on a 10-day trip, all the way up to a 2-year internship. So a lot of my role in Taiwan right now is working with our teams and interns, just some of the like administrative mentoring pieces. But also we own a coffee shop in Taipei that also is a church plant. So it's a cafe throughout the week, like Monday to Friday. And then on the weekends, we have church events in the space. So close the cafe and then have church on the second floor. On Saturdays, we have like discipleship meetings and stuff like that. And then on Sunday evening, we have church service. We also have a second cafe location that operates only as a cafe at the moment. We have plans to start a church there as well. That's about a 20-minute ride away, and so it's a little bit of a different context, so we're kind of working through the strategy and staffing of that. But yeah, we have like a church plant, we have the cafe, and then we have our teams and interns. So over this year, 2019, we had 8 teams come through our site. I'm responsible for most of the details and logistics of that. And Envision is really focused on missional development and equipping. So we don't just do like a short-term missions project, but we spend about 2 days in orientation, not just to teach them about Taiwan and about our site, but about missional practices that are applicable wherever you might go. So we really view it as a discipleship process of come to Taiwan, learn some things, like meet Taiwanese, be able to contribute to the ministry in Taiwan, but also here are tools that you can take with you on your next missions trip, back in your hometown, just this idea of building up missional leaders within the Alliance family. So I do a little bit of a lot of things, but yeah.
If you bring a soldier to the war,
yeah,
and they're kicked out of their home, do you have housing or something where you can take them?
Yeah, that's not something I have directly seen happen. Often what happens is it's a short period of time, so maybe 2 or 3 weeks that they're kicked out of the home. Mom or dad might not speak to the child for years, but they often can come back at least into the home. But so like in that short term, they would stay with like one of us or friends or something like that. Yeah. Because most Taiwanese, it's a little bit different culture than here in the States. Most Taiwanese will live with their parents and their grandparents, like a family home, until they get married. And so people are living with their parents probably. Most Taiwanese get married around 30, so families stick together longer in the same home.
What does hospitality look like? People mostly out rather than and are they, would you describe it as hospitable?
Yeah, Taiwan is an incredibly hospitable culture, but not in their home. The home, because grandma lives there, because 3 generations live in one home, and it's at least in Taipei, a big city, it's a small apartment. Often. And so most hospitality happens outside the home. So you go to a nice restaurant and you would provide for your guests there. Like even fun outings happen outside the home. Like if I go to see a movie, like I would go to a movie theater or something they call U2, which is basically you rent a movie and they have a room with a projector. If you want to go play board games, you go to a board game shop and you pay to use their board games. So most hospitality happens outside the home. If you're invited to someone's home, it's a really big honor. So I've been in Taiwan 3.5 years. I've been to 3 homes. Like, I've been in a Taiwanese home 3 times. That's it. Because to be invited into your home is to say, we, like, in a sense, welcome you into the family. Because you meet the whole family. It's intimidating because grandma doesn't speak English. And I'm trying to, and she doesn't speak Chinese either. She speaks Taiwanese. So, like, it's a really interesting dynamic. But it's a really big honor to be invited into someone's home. Do we have time for one more question?
Yes.
Okay.
Question.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's grandpa
Both are there, but often Taiwanese culture really focuses on love is shown by provision. And so a loving family could be described, not every family, this is a very, very general term, but a loving family is when dad goes to work all day and you don't see the kids. Dad loves his kids because he works all day, and so he can't see them, but that's viewed as love, even though he won't see his kids. Again, that's not true for every family. There are some very, very good Taiwanese parents, and things are changing as things are getting more globalized. But the grandfather is often viewed as an authority figure, not so much a relational figure. So for someone who's my age in Taiwan, their parents are working. Both parents are working. So most Taiwanese young people are raised by their grandmother. So grandmothers are often viewed more so as a mother figure for a lot of Taiwanese. So grandfather's there, parents are there, but grandma is the guardian. She's the one who raised my friends. So thank you so much. Again, I hope you learned something. I hope this was educational, and I'm excited for worship service.
Can we ask, before we go, you're home for four months.
Well, 3 months.
3 months. When you go back, what's the most pressing thing on your heart that we should be praying for?
Good question. There's been a lot of change at our site over the last year. Like I said, we work with teams and interns, and so the site's been open for about 10 or 11 years. And this fall is the first time in the site's history that we do not have any interns. I'm not really sure why, if it's just timing or world politics or what, but we don't have any interns, which really can hurt some of our ministries because we don't have staffing to do certain things. So just praying that God would provide long-term workers and also short-term workers.
Great. Can I ask one of our elders, Brian, would you mind praying for Nathan and close us in prayer? Nathan, thank you so much for sharing. I'm excited to see what you're going to be sharing with us in the next hour. But Brian, would you pray for us, please?